Amazon is not alone in concluding that unlocking patterns in book sales could open doors to other kinds of domination. It seems that the South Korean government has been engaged in a campaign built on a similar idea. We know South Korea rules when it comes to the global marketing of K-pop, Samsung phones, and LG washing machines. But it still lags when it comes to serious cultural commodities like literature. OTM producer Mythili Rao traveled to Seoul to report on the Ministry of Culture's new push to make Korean literature a global commodity. And yes, ultimately to win for it a Nobel Prize.
Hours before the Swedish Academy announced the winner of the 2015 Nobel Prize in Literature, I was sitting in the office of Brother Anthony of Tize in the Sincheon district of Seoul.
When I came in 1980, I came as a brother, a member of our community with other brothers. We were invited by the Catholic Archbishop, Cardinal Kim. I knew nothing about Korea at all.
Now Brother Anthony is a retired English professor, a naturalized Korean citizen, and a well-regarded translator, perhaps best known for rendering the extensive work of poet Ko Un into English. Ko Un, a monk and former political prisoner, is in his 80s. His many, many volumes of poetry cover everything from daily life to political strife, and they've made him a reliable, if obscure, favorite on unofficial Nobel Prize shortlists.
His name comes out, you know, on Ladbrokes betting. I think he's number 8 this year.
Right before the Nobel was announced, his odds of winning doubled with the British betting outfit Ladbrokes. International gamblers love Ko Un. South Koreans, less so.
Koreans can't understand why Ko Un is a candidate. And part of the problem, of course, is that he has published 155 books. Where are you going to start?
In any case, 2015 was not Ko Un's year.
The Nobel Prize in Literature for 2015 is awarded to the Belarusian writer Svetlana Alexievich.
Which maybe explains why, 3 days later, just 50 of the Seoul International Book Festival's 50,000 attendees showed up to hear the poet speak. With a GDP of $1.4 trillion, South Korea's economy is nearly the size of Australia's or Canada's. But while Canada and Australia boast 22 and 13 Nobel laureates each, and much smaller countries like Luxembourg, East Timor, and St. Lucia each have 2, South Korea has only 1. That's part of the reason why it's so desperate to win a Nobel. Ku Min Jung is an editor at Munak Dongne, one of Korea's biggest publishing houses.
Korean people tend to obsess over one big thing. Korean people think the Nobel Prize is the best. They think prize winners are the best writers and their works are the best works in the world.
I visited her at a literary cafe not far from her office in Paju Book City, a leafy government-sponsored complex that's home to facilities for 250 publishing houses. The city's designers say they were inspired to build it after the 1988 Olympics in Seoul, as a kind of training facility for producing great books. If Paju Book City is the training arena for the country's literary ambitions, the command center is in Gangnam, in the 5-story headquarters of the Literary Translation Institute of Korea. The institute has a budget of $10 million and the official goal of boosting Korea's, quote, national brand value through literature. To that end, the LTI trains translators, funds translation projects, send South Korean writers to festivals and residencies worldwide, and courts American publishers, like Chad Post of Open Letter Press, who was flown out to meet with Korean writers last winter.
They paid for the whole thing. We stayed in this amazing hotel with the best toilet that I've ever seen in my life. The whole thing was wonderful.
Post has worked with translation institutes across the globe.
Denmark's fantastic. Norway was really good. The German book office is very effective. The Estonian Literature Center, the Latvian Literature Center.
But, he says, South Korea's efforts stand out.
The LTI Korea is a huge space, and they have a library in there of books that have been fully translated but have never been published. It's like just heaps of bound galleys, essentially.
As for their efforts to sway the Nobel Committee?
There's no way that you can influence the committee except by making sure that these books exist.
But there may be a bigger underlying issue stymieing Korea's ambitions.
In order for your literature to be taken seriously internationally, it has to be taken seriously domestically, and currently it's not.
Charles Montgomery is an English professor at Dongguk University who's lived in Korea for nearly a decade.
And you have to remember that economically, Korea went from Zimbabwe to the first world in about 50 years. Koreans think that you can go from no prize to the Nobel Prize because they were able to reverse engineer how to make really good products, and pow, then they were successful. I would get an LG washing machine if I were in the United States. I'm sorry, GE. The LG washing machines are better. And so they tend to think of things in terms of products or units shipped, and that's simply not how literature works.
In Korea, reading literature is considered extracurricular.
Jung Bum-hur is an advanced translation student at the LTI. His love of literature came in spite of, rather than because of, his Korean education.
If you're reading a novel, they would say, oh, you're wasting your time. You should be solving math problems. You should be taking another mock exam for the Korean SAT.
Her and his classmates take translation seriously. One moment, they're comparing two characters in a short story to Mulder and Scully. The next, they're debating how to most succinctly describe the particular kind of fence used on Korean construction sites in the 1970s.
So what I thought what I would do that changes from the story is that it's sort of the original text goes in and out of quotation marks when the man is telling the story. But I decided to just separate it into a separate meta-diegetic dialogue.
But when it comes to describing the LTI's efforts and motives, Her is cynical.
It's a very good way to create some kind of international, to put it crudely, propaganda system where we can, promote Korea through our literature, like Korean literature is K-pop or something.
To its credit, the LTI has worked hard to discern what global audiences want. Recent works that it supported and translated include some decidedly grim titles, like Nowhere to Be Found, Lonesome You, At Least We Can Apologize, and No One Writes Back. These aren't sunny patriotic tales. For example, No One Writes Back is the story of an orphan vagabond. At one point, the lonely narrator reflects on books, saying, I do wonder what the difference is between novels and mackerels sold at the marketplace. He concludes that there's no shame in being a literary salesman. You can't sell your own works without being passionate about yourself, he says. And in a way, Korea's quest for a Nobel is a deeply passionate enterprise with its own pressures and guilt. Novelist Jung Yi-hyun, who writes about the romantic and professional lives of modern Korean women, told me, for example, that though her books actually sell, she's pretty sure she'll never win a Nobel. And she feels like she's letting her country down.
I somehow feel as if I've done something wrong. I guess not something wrong, but I feel sorry. I'm not the author who can win a Nobel Prize and deliver on that kind of happiness.
But even if LTI's quest for Nobel greatness fails, for the first time, American readers curious about Korean life now have dozens of dark, complex, newly translated novels and short stories to choose from.
I'm afraid if Ko Eun wins, the Korean government, LTI, will just declare victory and shut down.
Charles Montgomery.
We did it! Yay! We're the Usain Bolt of literature. We're out.
The best thing that could happen to South Korean literature just might be not winning a Nobel. For On the Media, I'm Mythili Rao.
Reporting for this story was supported by a fellowship from the International Center for Journalists. A print version of this story appeared online on The New Yorker's site.
Coming up, one man who stole books one by one and another who literally sells them by the foot.
This is On the Media.